Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's passage was described by one of the commentaries I consulted in preparation of my message as being the scriptural equivalent of parents telling you to eat your vegetables. And people, you've all experienced that, I suspect. And many of you have had the experience of telling your children to eat their vegetables. We know we should do it, but frankly, we don't like having the experience. And this is a scripture passage which we can say on one level makes perfect sense, but another is really, really hard for us. And it's a good reminder that the good news that Jesus shares with us is not necessarily easy news. Now, you may wonder what I'm talking about, but who here has ever felt some resentment towards someone or some anger you haven't liked them? And frankly, you wanted to stick with that resentment and anger. And maybe it's a person, maybe it's a group of people, maybe it's a foreign nationality. But I suspect everybody here has at some point in their life had that feeling. And Jesus is telling us not to do that. Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. Now, that might seem like a tall order, but I think it would be helpful for all of us who are living in the United States, where we are our own rulers, to think of what it was like for Jesus and his compatriots to be living in Galilee, in Roman-occupied Judea. And he had to live with his enemies who were running everything, and they were omnipresent. Now, we can look at the Pax Romana from a historical perspective, and we can say it had a lot of good things, but frankly, we weren't the ones who were living under Roman rule. And even if someone were coming in here and bringing order and prosperity and infrastructure, I suspect we would all say, thanks but no thanks. We'd like to run things for ourselves. Jesus knew what it was like to love an enemy. And while we might have a response that says Jesus is being some kind of long-haired hippie, that is not what he's doing. Jesus was a pretty keen observer of the scene around him, and he knew that there were people in the community that were organized, and there were people who wanted to rebel against the Romans. And Jesus was able to figure out that this was not a good thing for the people to do. And the gospel, of course, was written after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and after the rebellion that took place, but Jesus could see what was going to happen. So, still, what does that do for us? How are we supposed to love our enemies, or to bless those who curse us, or turn the other cheek, or give our cloak to someone who takes it from us? The idea of reconciliation and of reaching out to others who have hurt us is somewhat alien, because we like to be with people who are part of our group, who look like us, who talk like us, who see things the way we do, and we live in an age where people have segregated themselves into different camps and different belief groups. And frankly, the internet, for all of its good, is a source of division. And people go online and they find people who think just what they think. And they see commentators who say just what they would say. And that is not the kind of world that Jesus wants us to live in. So you may have people that you disagree with politically, but they are not the spawn of Satan. Some of them are really misguided, but they are not the devil incarnate. And we've reached a point in our society where we are so attached to our hatreds and our resentments and to our sense of self-righteousness that we don't want to try to find a way to build bridges. Now, I grew up, I hate to say this, longer ago than I'd like to think, but when I was a young person, the Cold War was still going on, and I grew up thinking the Russians were bad. And I didn't trust them, and I still have real reservations about their government. But I had an opportunity back in 1991 to go to Russia as part of an exchange program. And it was really interesting to meet real Russians. And the people we met were dumb folks just like us, and they were preparing for the future and planning their careers. And they were nice folks. And it helped to meet people to actually put faces and personalities on this image of the big bad Russians that I had. Now that doesn't mean that I can't engage in some schadenfreude, and I like to see the bad guys be taken down a notch. And I suspect many of you will watch the Olympics last week, and you've heard about the incident involving the Russian skating coaches. And for those of you who didn't, the coach of the gal who was deemed to be the medal contender was awful to her at the end and was berating her for not fighting through and doing things, and the young woman broke down. Now there's part of me that says, well, that's what I'd expect to happen with the Russians. But there was a young woman, and yes, there were questions dogging her about whether she had violated the doping rules, but nobody should have to deal with that from a person they trust. Nobody. And the more I thought about it, the worse I felt. That's the kind of incident that Jesus wants us to avoid. Jesus wants us not to engage in schadenfreude. He doesn't want us to take satisfaction or pleasure or a sense of self-righteousness out of someone else's misstep. Now, you may have noticed the title of my sermon was Can We All Just Get Along? And many of you probably recognize that as something that Rodney King supposedly said back in 1992. Now, you all remember Rodney King. He was the man who was pulled over by police in California, and he was taken out of his car, and things unfolded pretty quickly. And Rodney King was beaten by the cops who, not the ones who pulled him over, because that was the California Highway Patrol, but by some officers in the LAPD. And there happened to be a man who was able to see all of this from his balcony in his apartment complex, and he recorded it. And the tape got out, and the officers were put on trial, and they were acquitted. Now, we can all wonder about what happened with Rodney King, but I would hope that we could all agree that nobody should ever have an experience with law enforcement where they are abused physically, and I've never had that kind of thing, so it's sort of mystifying to me. But the response to the acquittal was the Los Angeles riots, and frankly, and I'm saying this from the comfort here of New Hampshire, I don't find that to be particularly productive. Now, Rodney King did not find that to be particularly productive. And it was during the riots that he went on TV and uttered his quote about, can we all just get along? Rodney King, of anybody in Los Angeles, indeed the United States, should have taken satisfaction from the anger that erupted at that moment. But he didn't. He didn't. Rodney King recognized that we need to find a way to live together, that we need to care for one another. And that doesn't mean that Mr. King didn't have his satisfaction in court. He was able to sue Los Angeles for a significant amount of money. He received a big payoff. And justice was done there. But we really need to find a way to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And there's an old saying, it's definitely an old saw, but sometimes we need to agree to disagree, and that's the only way we can get along. not have the same opinions you have. And I may believe in my opinions very, very strongly. But it's important to hear one another and try to figure out where people are coming from. And that doesn't mean that I then abandon everything I believe and say, okay, you're right. But there's a way to talk with one another, and there's a way to negotiate with one another. And frankly, we don't do a very good job of it. So I would hope that in the coming weeks and months that we'll all dedicate ourselves to trying to love one another. And again, that may sound really hard, but I just want to give you an example from my own life. My late father was an officer in the Army, and he served in the Pacific during World War II. And after the war, he resumed his business, which was to be a person involved in foreign trade. And I remember him doing business in Japan, and he did business in Germany. And they were the enemy. They were people we'd been at war with. And yet my dad set aside his feelings about the war and saw opportunity and made friends in Japan and in Germany. And he had a richer life because of that. So I would hope that we hear Jesus' words and we'll remember to do to others as we would have them do to us. That's the golden rule. And it's not just shared here in the Bible, but it was circulating throughout the ancient world. And it's ancient, but it's still good advice. So the gospel is good news, but it is not always easy news. And it's easy for us to perceive people as enemies. But frankly, are our enemies really our enemies? Or are they just people we don't like or recognize or we're not comfortable with? That's a different issue. The journalist and humorist P.J. O'Rourke, who died last week, was written up about an appreciation in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and one of his observations was included in the article in which P.J. O'Rourke said, Jesus told us to love our enemies, but he didn't tell us not to have any. Now, that was a humorous line, but there's some truth to it. We can have enemies, but what do we do with them? And frankly, wanting to beat up on people, wanting to bomb them into oblivion, wanting to make them suffer, is not going to help us in the long run. So we can try to find a way to get along. We can listen to this advice from Martin King, who was willing to put his suffering behind him, and he moved forward into the future. And we can do that too, as individuals and as a community. That's what Jesus wants us to do, and that's what I hope we learn from the story of Joseph and his brothers. Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the tales of Scripture, for the stories that teach us things we need to know,